Welcome to episode 161 of the Bobbycast, and this one's going to be about artists who hate their biggest hits, which is interesting. I told you about this yesterday, and I was like, I want you to hop on because this is a good one.
I like it.
Do you know any of these?
I was trying to guess some, and I would think Red Hot Chili Peppers would come to mind, like Under the Bridge.
They don't like playing that one?
I would think not, right?
Oh, you don't know.
I don't know.
Is that on here? Because every time I've been to like 10 Chili Pepper shows, they play it every time.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, and the whole place is like, and I don't ever want to be. It's a moment.
That's their smash, right? Like, that's their big song. Under the Bridge.
To me, it is.
That got them started, I
think. That was their moment song, but I don't know if it was their biggest song. Because I would think that something like Aeroplane.
Oh, yeah.
That something that we don't think is the biggest because we're hardcore Chili Pepper fans, but
right.
It actually popped the mainstream because it was in Beavis and Butthead. Pop radio played the crap out of it.
Right.
So I would think it would be something like, it's my aeroplane.
It's my aeroplane.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not to totally shift at the beginning of this, but I would think like that or.
That was something that came to my mind. Bryan Adams, Everything I Do It For You. You know what I mean? Like his smash. But why would he want to sing that? It's the Robin Hood song.
Because you got to get the people what they want.
So who are these people? I'm so curious.
You're going to know one of these easy. As soon as I play this note, the first one you and I have talked about a lot. Oh, that's not the right one. Hold on.
I was like, Kenny G.
Two songs with the same name. No. Here.
Oh, chorus.
Radiohead Creep. They don't play it. This is the one that's the most legendary to me of a massive band that will not play their biggest song.
But this is the, hey, we're so cool, we don't need to play that song. Like, everyone likes that song, but that's not even our best song.
It's not even who we are anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And this is what got me onto Radiohead.
But I agree with them. Like,
Shut up.
There's a lot of good Radiohead.
Okay,
and
yeah.
It's not, and it doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, I agree. But still, that's what a lot of people our age in their 30s got into Radiohead for, because we heard this song.
Okay.
And we're like, whoa, that weird. And if I'm right to it, again, I'm just going from memory here. I don't know if it's written in here, but that was Accident.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love those fun facts like that. But
I'm a creep. Like, someone was, he was just popping his guitar.
And a producer said, ooh, that would sound cool.
It was all, I think it was rolling.
Wow.
And they were like, oh, that works there. It was something like that.
Fun fact, I knew a girl in college. She was at a club and saw Thom Yorke.
Yeah.
In like, it was like a jam-packed club. And she looks right at him. She goes, oh my gosh, you are. And he just put his finger up like, no.
Oh, like, don't say it.
Like,
don't get it.
Like, just
going.
No, don't even say a word. And then walked off. She was like, it was amazing.
Radiohead's never liked the song. I'll read to you from this article. Thom Yorke would say that it's crap and had short shrift, for whatever that means, in his
short shrift.
I don't know, dude. He's from another country. For fans who asked to hear it in concert, the song has also caused legal trouble with both the Hollies, and there's a song called "The Air That I Breathe," sued over melodic similarities, and Lana Del Rey. And Creep became a mainstay in the mid '90s, and they didn't want to play it. They went several years without performing at all, and they did it finally in 2016.
That does say a little something about them. Like, they should respect that song, because that really got the whole world listening.
Yeah, that's what launched Radiohead.
I wouldn't be able to know all those cool other songs if it wasn't for this
Maybe,
song.
Maybe, but I would say yes, because that was basically a pop song.
Yep.
Here we go. This is one theory on Radiohead's guitar, right? The guitar crunch before the chorus in Radiohead's Creep was from guitarist Johnny Greenwood intentionally trying to sabotage the song.
Oh,
a lot of theories about it, but that's,
I don't know about that one. I don't know if I buy that
that's
one.
That's one that I just read there. But I'm a creep. I know that it wasn't supposed to be in the song. Like, it, when it was written, it wasn't.
Interesting. I'm a little.
What the hell am I doing here? All right, so that's one. They don't like playing that song. Rarely do they, only a couple times in the past set of years. The other one that I played was this one. That's also Creep. Yes. TLC Creep.
They won't play it? And, what? Do they? Are they still around?
Well, yeah, I think they play without Left Eye a
Do
little
they?
Bit. Yeah, but even then, you remember the song or no?
Yeah, vaguely. I mean, this wasn't my time to, like, listen to radio. I was cool then, dude. I was listening to, like...
Oh, were you?
Yeah, other stuff.
The song didn't even almost make it out of the studio. It's about women who cheat on their cheating partners in order to make them feel jealous. Like, you're cheating on me, I'm gonna cheat on you. In the documentary, The Last Days of Left Eye, she claimed she was so adamant the song should not see the light of day that she threatened to wear black tape over her mouth during the music video, wouldn't even sing during it. And they were like, we don't even want to sing it. They hate doing it.
I saw a show about them, like, not making any money.
Well, yeah. So there's a whole podcast, yeah, too.
Really? What's it called?
Well, the guy that does the...
Disgraceland?
Yeah. He talks about her and her story and Andre Rison and her burning his house down. And,
wow. Andre Rison, yeah, that was a bad relationship. They talked about that on that show, yeah, I was watching.
So, yeah, but they don't like that song. So that... That was like the last one on the list, but since I accidentally hit it.
You're going to say that for the end?
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
No. She has to.
Now, if you're Miley Cyrus and you're this big, you know, young adult star, do you really want to play your 15, stuff from your 15 years,
yeah,
old?
Yeah. That's like Paul McCartney never singing "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Like,
yeah, no, it's not. Stop it.
What? No,
Miley Cyrus not singing "Party in the USA" is nothing like
but,
a Beatle.
But in that aspect, where like you're asking a 60-year-old man to sing something he wrote when he was 18, like, yeah.
But again, she wrote this as a young teenager. I would think that is a you put that. By the way, I don't think Miley wrote this.
Oh, she didn't.
No, I don't think so. So that when you get to be 30, you probably think it's cool to, again, to play a hit from a kid. But when you're in that age where you're trying to redefine yourself as an adult.
But this is perfect for her. Like it's funny you say she didn't even write it. You listen to that, you're like, oh, yeah, she's a Nashville girl going to L.A. for the first time. Like, I understand this story. Like, it makes me feel close to Miley just by listening to the song.
Is Miley listed as one of the writers at all?
No.
Miley Cyrus admitted that choosing the song was minimal. It was written by Jessie J and some others. That she picked the song because she needed something to go with her clothing line.
Wow.
She did not expect it to be popular. It was something that she wanted to do because she needed a song best for the album. Later, it was like, I feel like a sellout. So she doesn't like playing it.
That's crazy.
She was so over that song that during a party in Chicago, she asked the DJ to play any of her own songs except freaking Party in the USA.
I was the opposite. When that song came out, I would be at bars and tell the DJ,
but
play Party in the USA.
Here's my point with this. She was a young teenager, and she got famous when she was a teenager.
Yeah.
And as you try to grow out of that bubblegum pop, you don't want to have to play your bubblegum pop.
And how drastic did she go from that to naked pool parties?
Well, she's 26 now, so I would think that now, as she is more solidified with who Miley is, she's probably okay with playing it now, right?
Okay.
I would think when you're 19 to 24, you're like, that's not who I am. I don't want people thinking. We know who she is now.
Sure. We understand who she is.
But she hates it. So.
And you're at a concert and you're Miley Cyrus show and she doesn't play it. Aren't
pissed,
you? You're a little pissed, right? Pissed,
yeah. Yeah, but
makes
again,
no sense to me.
I went to REM show. They didn't play any hits.
That sucks.
My favorite story of me hating is the concert.
That sucks. Sorry, dude.
I love REM, and I go to an REM show. They played no hits. They just played their whole new album. It was an odd new record.
That's cold, but I bet they were so happy to do that. Like, that's such a band thing to do.
Yeah, it is weird. They have a song that they don't play anymore, Shiny Happy People.
Love it. There's a story behind this. It was supposed to be the Friends theme song?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it on this show.
Right?
Yeah. It was originally going to be the Friends theme song. This.
Shiny, happy people.
And the singer here is the B-52 singer, Love Shack Girl.
Oh, wow. It sounds, yeah.
That's her. So, REM's record company, listen to the story of this song. They say, hey, we need an up-tempo pop track. We need something like fun, goofy. So, they said, okay, we're going to make this stupid song, and thinking the label would reject it, and unfortunately for them, they didn't, and then it became a huge single. Michael Stipe said, I hate that song. And so he's like, I just don't like it. He said, I wouldn't say I'm embarrassed by the song, but it has limited appeal for me. I never badmouth. I try never to say anything bad about songs that I don't particularly like, because there might be someone out there who hears it and it means everything too. But the band has decided to leave Shiny Happy People off their greatest hits albums. They don't play it for the most part. He said, if there's one song that I send to outer space that does not represent REM, it would be Shiny Happy People.
Wow.
I love the song.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And I think of the music video and them all dancing around.
I don't remember that.
You don't?
No. What were they doing?
It was just a bunch of people on like a soundstage dancing around. It seemed like it was a farm too. Like they were just jumping around dancing.
What's that?
There. Yeah. That guitar riff.
So happy.
Like Michael Stipe has like the goofy thing with the hat on backward.
Oh, okay, I do remember that. Yeah. Do you agree with him though? Do you listen to this and say, ah, it didn't sound like the rest of REM? I don't.
Well, REM is such a collection though.
Because it sounds like REM.
Over decades. So, yeah, some. It didn't sound like the crap they played that one time I went and they didn't play any of their songs. I'm still.
Do you know any of those songs that they played that night?
It didn't matter. I mean, none of those songs.
Yeah.
And REM was over being contemporary at that time. REM was awesome. Like,
what do you mean by contemporary?
None of those songs were making the pop charts.
Got it.
You know, REM
was it
had
because
like
it was beyond pop?
They were older.
Yeah.
They were more sad and cool. But REM had the jams. This sounds like Stand sounds sonically like Shiny Happy People to me.
It does.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying he's full of crap. Like, this does sound like REM.
Stand in the place where you live. Think about direction, wonder why.
REM was so good.
Losing My Religion was like...
That was their song.
Gosh.
Like, that's the one that shifted everybody, the video.
Listen to that.
When we were kids, young kids. I remember watching it. And he had hair in the video.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, you're right. I can picture it right now.
Two artists that had hair that we don't think about having hair. Billy Corgan and Michael Stipe.
He had long hair.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger.
Yeah, that's the jam.
You are not.
I mean, REM had, well, my favorite REM song is Everybody Hurts.
It's
got referenced
so
quite often on the show. But I'm telling you, I would just... What's going to happen is I'm going to go back and have to jam it all today. But, like, what's the frequency, Kenneth?
Yeah,
what's the frequency, Kenneth? Oh, this is right in the mix.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? This show
And don't forget about this. You talk about songs.
Come on.
He says it doesn't sound like Shiny Happy People.
Come on.
The End of the World as We Know It.
Oh, come on. Listen to that.
That's great. It starts
Same sound.
With the
Yeah,
earth.
Fun.
Wait, birds and snakes and arrows.
But then they have stuff like this. A lot of minor chords.
Sure. A little sadness.
A lot of, even though it's upbeat, it's still... The tones are darker. This one goes out to the one I love. Yeah, REM was a jam, man.
This one goes out to the one I love. This one goes...
So, they don't like playing Shiny Happy People. I thought we'd go down the REM train. I gotta go to commercial real quick. Hold on.
The world is full of sounds that warn you of danger. Like, if you get a little too close to a rattlesnake, you're the ch-ch-ch-ch. But in the digital world, if your personal information is in danger, there is no ch-ch-ch-ch to let you know that you might be in trouble. The good thing is that LifeLock has added the power of Norton Security to see more cyber threats. Whether it's potential threats to your identity, like your personal information for sale on the dark web, or threats to your devices, like malware or emerging viruses, if you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Of course, no one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with Norton can detect a wide range of threats that could sneak up on you. Join now and get 10% off your first year. Just go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and enter the promo code BONES. 1-800-LIFELOCK, enter the promo code BONES for 10% off at LifeLock.com. I love LifeLock. I have used LifeLock. They've helped me so many times. LifeLock.com.
All right, other songs that the bands don't like to play. And if I went to an Oasis show... Which there aren't any right now.
They don't play Wonderwall?
They don't like it.
I don't get it.
They hate it. Now, the whole thing is that they won't play it at all, but it's they hate it.
But isn't that kind of what this band's about?
Yeah.
Fighting and...
They're counterculture against themselves.
They are.
Not even culture. Like, they hate themselves.
There's a Netflix documentary on them. I haven't watched it yet, but I keep scanning by it. I'll watch it one day.
On them?
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's fantastic.
Oh, is it good?
It's...
This is what I picture, and you tell me if I'm right.
You're right.
They just fight the whole time? The two brothers?
A bit, but it's very self-serving, but it's still about... Dude, they were so much bigger than even I remember them being. Especially...
In across the pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
Because they were big here, but I mean...
Internationally. Like, I think that they probably were the biggest band in the world at a time.
Dude, when Wonderwall came out, that was something that we had never heard. Like, we didn't hear music like that. We were just coming out of grunge.
And they looked almost grunge, but they didn't sound like it.
Yeah.
They were British. It was a weird thing. He says, I can't effing stand that effing song.
Who's this, Noel?
Yeah. No, Liam.
Oh.
Every time I have to sing it, I want to gag. You go to America and they're like, are you Mr. Wonderwall?
Oh, I mean, I get that.
And they both hate it though, because that was Liam and Noel, same thing. He was like, I don't like the song.
Oh, well, they agreed on something.
So now that they stopped playing it, it's called Supersonic, the documentary. You'll like
Supersonic,
it.
Supersonic, that's it. Yeah.
It's a little cool guy. So you would like it because you're a music...
I just love learning about stuff. And I don't know much about them other than just they're brothers and they fought a lot and they broke up.
Here's this one. Madonna does not like playing Like a Virgin.
That was one of my guesses.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like her.
It sounds like an 80s song, though, and she dominated 80s and made all the other 80s songs sound like this. Like, I think her and Michael Jackson were the, again,
80s icons.
Sonically, everybody chased them.
Yeah.
So she made this. Everybody else chased it. She got away from that because everybody else was doing it. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
She has 49 top 40 hits.
Dang.
She says there are two songs that she hates, Holiday and Like a Virgin.
I forget that's her.
Holiday. She goes, I just can't unless somebody paid me like $30 million or something. Not only will she not sing them, she doesn't want to hear them. She said it's an awkward experience just to hear them. She did perform both in 2016 because she was trying to do a tour to get people to like come.
Yeah.
And so she did both of those, but she's like, I hate it.
So again, with her, like at some point she's going to play it, right?
I don't know. She's older now.
But I mean, at some point you come to realize like, hey, you know what? Like I was really lucky to have this life. And really this song, those songs were probably the reason why I got to do everything else I want to do.
I think that comes in if people get older and they struggle.
Oh, she might not struggle anymore.
I don't think that. Listen, she could. She's sick. Is she only 60? Mm-hmm. I thought she's older than that.
But she's got a lot of money, though.
Yeah, like, I don't think she's in any struggle where she has to go, I need to kind of re-embrace what I was.
Yeah.
And she's also making a lot of new music.
I it's crazy to hear people like Garth Brooks, you know, who probably sang Friends in Low Places hundreds of times. Still today, he will do it.
Thousands, and, tens of thousands.
And he'll openly say, like, why wouldn't I play that? Like,
but I wonder if secretly he hates it.
You think?
I don't know about hate, and I think
Tired of playing it is one thing.
Yes, he's probably grateful for it, and he probably, if you gave him a choice, and it didn't, and the crowd didn't care either way, right? If the crowd was, it didn't matter what you played, he plays it because the crowd loves it,
right? Which is why you do what you do,
right? But if you said the crowd doesn't care what you play, just go and play whatever you want, I bet he wouldn't play Friends in Low Places. If you go,
if you had the chance not to play it, you're right, probably.
Right. If the crowd's going to react the same exact way, regardless of what you play, you can play anything you want. He's not going to play Friends in Low Places.
Guarantee you at the end of that show, everyone will be like, you know what? He didn't play Friends in Low Places.
Oh, for sure. That's his biggest song.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I bet you that everyone that has to do it over and over and over again is like, I'd rather not. And you go into probably just a mode of, you don't even.
It's just automatic.
Just doing it.
What you're doing. And I don't think Garth or anyone like that would ever say like, F this song. Like, I don't understand that. I hate that song. Like, that's the part that I don't relate. Like, I can't really understand hating a song that much. Like, at one point you liked it because you wrote it. You know, like, even though you try to sabotage it like Radiohead, like, you did write that song. You did put it out.
A lot of money.
And it made you a lot of money.
Beastie Boys.
Yeah!
They didn't like doing Fight For You, right?
Really?
They said it was a frat boy song. It says, the only thing that upsets me is that we might have reinforced certain values of some people in our audience when our own values were actually totally different. So the schools, party, 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 and they felt like they weren't really all about that.
You gotta fight!
They wrote once that song sucks. And they did it as a goof, kind of. I was the biggest Beastie Boy fan.
Yeah.
If you'd asked me 5 years, I don't know what my favorite three albums would be. Like, Forever, Take on Island, Continuum. It used to be Beastie Boys' Licensed Ill, which that's on.
Is that the one with the plane?
No, Beastie Boys is nothing. Licensed Ill is...
What's the cover of that? I'm trying to think.
Pull up the Licensed Ill cover.
Is it the tail of the plane?
Oh, on the front.
License to Ill, I think, on the front cover. I'm trying to think.
I don't even remember. I just had this CD in a. It's like a jet. Yeah.
All right, got it.
Yeah, look at that.
So, what do you think about what? Like, what's your take on it's?
They were kids.
This went in the wrong direction. That's not who we are. Like, you're saying that like Beastie Boys are saying that 15, 20 years later.
Yeah, like, they're probably embarrassed of it. There were things I used to do I'm embarrassed of.
Yeah. But if that's part of you, Bobby Bones, like, do you embrace it or do you hate it?
That's a tough thing. You probably secretly love it because it was good for you.
Yeah.
But you probably can't say you love it anymore because it sends... I don't even know what messes are talking about.
Because
right?
It is stupid. The song's dumb. Like, yes, it sounds like a 13-year-old wrote it. Like that, but that's what everyone liked about it.
They were three white dudes rock rapping.
Right.
At a time when that sound was so foreign.
It didn't exist.
Hip hop wasn't even that big. It was just starting to be a thing.
Yeah. And there were no instruments to hip hop.
Three Jewish white dudes were crushing it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I watched them and was like, oh, I have a chance to do music. I saw the Beastie Boys.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I could probably do music because if these guys can do it, they're goofy. Like there were always like goofy, you know, goofy white dudes I would look at and go, oh, if they can do it, I have a shot.
Yeah.
And if you ever watch them play like Sabotage on Letterman, you ever watch that YouTube video?
Mm-mm.
They're so good. Even playing instruments.
Really?
They're playing guitar and bass. And
I've seen old footage of when they came out playing their own instruments. It's like, look at that. Yeah. No one did that.
Speaking of Madonna, they used to tour with Madonna.
Really? God, what a lineup.
They were wild. So they didn't like that. We got a couple more here. Run DMC, Walk This Way.
Nice transition.
Yeah. Thank you. The idea for Run DMC to re-record Aerosmith's song came from Rick Rubin, the guy with the big gray beard who produces everybody.
Never wears shoes.
Yeah. He liked the beat. Never heard the rest of the record. So they were like, this is hillbilly poetry more than a hip-hop song.
I get that.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one that doesn't fit. You know, it's like, all right, they were doing this publicity, make money, whatever. Who, like you said, Rick Rubin. Maybe he thought it sounded cool, but the label loved that, probably.
It was such a risk. Again, this featuring thing didn't happen.
Rarely. It didn't. You're right.
Secondly, it was crossing genres, which really didn't happen. That's why it blew people's minds. Because, first of all, you rarely had two artists. You'd have occasionally like a David Bowie and Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
But rarely did two artists hop on a song with each other. And the fact that it was two completely different type of artists was... And then it was also really good, and it was a remake of a song that was already an Aerosmith song. So it's like, we don't want to perform it. They're like, we're embarrassed to perform it. So they didn't do it. Then after it sold, they started to play a little more.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they hated it.
So they gave in.
They hated it, yeah. So they liked it. And I'll give you one more, which is weird.
Really?
Robert Plant.
This is they never did it?
No, this is they hated it. They hated the song.
Oh, but they played it.
They would still play. Because even in their reunion, they'd play it occasionally. But Robert Plant was like, if I have to sing that every show, I'm going to break out in hives. So they stopped playing it.
This wasn't my time. This was before us.
Yeah, we were
way before us.
Yeah.
I don't know how songs became big, but this song was huge. Like, Stairway to Heaven is...
Yes, the classic rock anthem. Maybe the song of the 70s.
Correct.
We weren't born in the 70s, but if you go, what's the song of the 70s? I start to go, again, not born. I go, Freebird. And that's even mostly geographical.
But still huge.
Yeah. But I think Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
I think that's the song of the 70s.
And
look at biggest song of the 70s. You see what pops up.
And another one that came up was Hotel California. But this Stairway to Heaven was it, man.
I feel like it was it, like the number one, too. Like, I really do. He's going to look up. Do that 100 best song of the 70s. Just see what people are saying. There's like an article written about that. And I would say, because that late 60s starts to fuzz into the early 70s. Like Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Like. Even like Teach Your Children, like that's big, but still, I think one. All right, we have 100 best songs of the 70s.
All right, go through all 100 of them.
From NME. Hold on, everybody, we're going to go through all. Starting at number 100. Oh, it's going backward. Okay, let me know when you get to the top 5 or so. So anyway, those are songs that those artists hate playing.
I saw Robert Plant has something new out, or he's back. I actually heard one of his songs on the radio,
It's good?
It's okay, but the voice sounded like Robert Plant, which is something that I hadn't heard in a while. I heard that. Remember, he did the Alison Krauss Robert
big.
Plant.
Yeah,
that was good album. But he never did the Zeppelin voice where he screamed or whatever.
Hey, Mama, see the way you move.
And he does a little bit in this new stuff where it's like, oh,
he can still get there.
He's still not that high, but you told me one time Elton John like doesn't even
high. He changes keys completely on a song.
That's gotta suck.
Well, he's also in his 60s,
right? Like, but that was your sound.
He's like, you know, instead of like blue jean, he's like blue jean baby.
Like hold me closer.
Yeah, not that. Hold me closer, tiny.
He just keeps it low.
Just keeps it there.
It's safe.
That site we pulled up, like a lot of Sex Pistols. This is like cool guy
stuff.
No, no. Fleetwood Mac.
Okay. Which what would be their big song?
Well, on this list, that's the one they list. Yeah. Is that to you the biggest Fleetwood Mac song?
Yeah. I mean, that would be the biggest.
Mine would be Dreams.
Dreams is awesome.
I would,
but that wasn't the first one that came to my mind.
Like Dreams.
Like Gypsy.
Yeah. And they're going to have 100 massive hits. Dreams. Yeah, Go Your Own Way. Here's a list. 100 greatest rock songs of the 70s. We nailed a lot of these. I'm gonna tell you a few of them. And you're
go for
go,
it. Oh, start at one.
Number one, Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin.
Boom.
Number two, Hotel California, the Eagles.
Boom.
Number three.
It was Skinner?
No. And I didn't think to even add this.
70s. Give me a chance. Hold on. Give me a second.
It may be the biggest song ever. And I know it's at number three, but when I say it, you're going to go, oh, like it could be the biggest song ever.
Of the seven. Oh, of Neil Diamond?
Period. No, period. Of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah.
That's Sweet Caroline?
And I say that in the way that it's just that so many people have covered it too. Like regardless of where it charts, I think it's possibly the biggest song of all time.
Oh, Margaritaville.
No. Would you agree that it's possibly the biggest song of all time?
Oh.
Imagine. Pound for pound, maybe the biggest song of all time
that's
in Western
big.
Popular culture.
Yeah. And it was John Lennon. It wasn't even the Beatles.
It was the Beatles.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
I think that line gets, because it starts with imagine there's no heaven, a lot of people would get upset at that. But that's not the point, is that there's no heaven.
Well, I think John kind of did that to himself because he'd always, like even when he was with the Beatles, he compared himself, he compared them to Jesus, which didn't really fit well with a lot of Christians.
But again, he didn't, that's not really what he did.
Right.
He
but
said
he
it.
He would say stuff like that.
But again, all misconstrued.
Correct.
Even that first line is misconstrued.
I agree with you.
He said, we're bigger than Jesus, right?
Yeah. The Beatles are.
He didn't mean like we're actually bigger than Jesus. He goes, he can't believe how crazy people are for this. He said, we're bigger than Jesus right now. And he actually meant it as a slight toward the Beatles. Like he couldn't believe that people were acting so crazy because I believe he said we're more popular than Jesus.
Correct.
And people freaked out. But in reality, it was him disgusted by the fact that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus.
But then he would do the Ballad of John and Yoko and be like, Christ, you know it ain't easy. And then all the Christians are like, here he goes again.
And the line and the whole point of imagine isn't that there's no heaven. It's also
imagine.
It's also imagine there's no hell. It's imagine you're just right now. And everybody just took care of each other right now. Like, that's why the song is so beautiful, but people will get all butthurt over
words, man.
The first line without listening to the rest of the song.
Words are more powerful than people think.
Yeah. So, imagine. I think Born to Run was on
oh,
there.
Oh, gosh. Bruce Springsteen,
not,
of course.
I'm just not a Springsteen guy.
You've been Born to Run, though? Like, when you listen to that, that doesn't get you like, hyped?
I'm going to say this, and you're probably going to not like me for it. So, I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen guy, period. And if I were going to pick a Bruce Springsteen, because I watched that document, that show on Netflix, Bruce Springsteen Live Show.
Okay.
It's okay.
I didn't watch it.
I'm just not a Bruce guy. A lot of my friends from the Northeast, from like New York, New Jersey, they love him, right? And where's Born to Run?
Listen to that.
No, I get it.
Yeah!
Not even my top Bruce Springsteen songs.
Don't, oh my gosh, do not say Born in the USA.
Well, listen, I'll get to it.
Here he goes.
I'm a poser. I'm not even a poser because I'm not even a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. I love Glory Days.
This is good stuff.
In the middle of the night, Glory Days. I had a friend who was a big baseball player back in high school.
You still like his sound? What is it? What is it, man? Go ahead, tell us.
It was all pretty good. It was all pretty good. I like Dancing in the Dark.
No dancing in the dark.
Eddie, even songs like Thunder Road.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm just not a big Bruce fan. The best song.
Here he goes.
What?
Play it. Go ahead.
Why are you hating, dude?
Start with the drums.
No, but for real. Like, of all the Bruce songs.
Send up.
Did you know this was not written to the patriotic song at all?
Yeah, I think you told me this. What is it? What's the story?
I think it was actually like the opposite. Look up.
Oh, it was like like a protest song?
Before I get into trouble, I'm going to have Mike look it up. Because the original title was Vietnam.
Oh. Born in Vietnam.
Wait, right? Is that a movie or a song? About a rock band struggling with life and religion. It gave Bruce the idea for the new title. Unfortunately, what does it say? Oh, okay, here we go. Springsteen wrote this about the problems Vietnam veterans encounter when they returned to America.
Oh, like the movie
Vietnam
War of the
was the
of
first
July.
War the U.S. didn't win. And while veterans of other wars received a hero's welcome, those who fought in Vietnam were mostly ignored when they returned to the States. So
if I still listen to that song right now, I can hear that?
But that's what it's about. It's
wow,
not,
I've never even
it's
listened.
It's not about, look how wonderful the USA is. It's about, hey, what's the deal?
Wow.
Right?
Interesting. And here we are playing it every 4th of July, like, yeah, America. Mm-hmm. That's so
words,
funny.
Words, man.
Words, dude.
The opposite on this one.
Yep.
Than the other one. The other one means super well, but the words trick you. This one doesn't mean that well, but the words trick you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your favorite Springsteen song.
I know. I'm such a poser, but I'm okay with that.
Do you like that he, I mean, the dude plays 3.5 hours, like, sometimes.
It's like, there's a reason Eric Church is like he is, because of Bruce Springsteen. Like, I can admire that.
Yep.
I think it's cool. He loves the fans, makes music.
Fans.
Yeah.
I think that's what drives him.
Yeah. I mean, you want to know my other favorite Bruce Springsteen song? I'm not kidding. It's so good.
What?
He does.
Oh,
Santa,
no, I agree with
Santa
this.
Santa Claus Coming to Town. Maybe one of the best Christmas songs
I
ever.
Now you can't really wear the, wear your, my app out, but like, I played this so much during Christmas.
Great, right? Jam, huh?
Yeah. Clarence, Santa's gonna give you a new saxophone.
Is there anything that the Raging Idiots don't like playing anymore? We don't really play Starbucks anymore. That's stupid. So
we don't,
us.
Do we? Mm-hmm. We don't play that one anymore. We do. We do play Fight for Your Right.
We do play all those songs.
All the ones
that
they don't want to play.
We're like, shiny, happy people.
And here's Oasis.
Yeah. Boy, everybody plays Oasis, huh? Everybody but them plays Oasis.
Yep. Yeah, right. Go downtown on a Friday night. They're playing it.
That's a wrap. Rock and roll. Eddie, appreciate you coming by.
Thanks, dude.
I always like it when you do the people do too, don't they? Mm-hmm. They always like it when you come in and we talk
like
about music
together.
I like doing it. Yeah, why don't you drop out of that podcast? And
which
that,
one? The sports one?
It's
usually just sit around and listen to Lunchbox
yeah.
rant.
Yeah. No, that's not how locker room is.
Listen, if I were the coach, this is what I would do. But you're not.
And you've never been.
Right. You've never played football. What are you talking about?
Check out the Sore Losers podcast. Eddie is one of the three guys over on that show, Lunchbox, Eddie, and Ray. And also check out Four Things with Amy Brown. That's Amy's podcast. And recent episode, she had her husband on. Thanks for listening. Episode 161 of the Bobbycast. This has been... Tell your friends about us if you don't mind. Hey, rate us, too. If you don't mind, take a second and go to the app or wherever you are. Like, if you're getting this from the Apple Store or iRadio, rate us and subscribe. That actually helps us move up the charts a little bit, get more listeners. So we appreciate that. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks to our sponsor. And we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.